All right, here on KNBR 680, Steve Sokoloff joins us, and fans, you know that name as part of the Giants ownership group, but as they call him, Stevie. He was a bat boy way back for the San Francisco Giants, and it was a wonderful experience. And Steve, on this day, we'd love to have you on the show and get some of the experiences you went through. First of all, how did it come about that you became a bat boy?
Well, for my bar mitzvah gift, 1967, my father told me, you're not getting any money, but you're getting a job. And that job was to be a bat boy. He was very good friends with Mike Murphy, who at that time was, of course, running the Visitors Clubhouse. Eddie Logan was running the Giants Clubhouse. And Murph had this arranged with my father, and starting in 1968, I worked 2 years for all the visitors. The home team supplies the bat boys for the visitors. And the last 2 years of my job, 70 and 71, I was the bat boy for the Giants.
Wow. Boy, it's wonderful. All right, now, visiting clubhouse, I guess you have to have some instruction from Mike Murphy as to what to do. What do you do? How do they explain to you what your job is?
Literally be on the ball. We were to be out to pick up the bat as soon as it hit the ground. We were to assist with the ball boys. The ball boy was a separate job. But the main part of our job really was to be in the clubhouse at least 2 or 3 hours before the game and a couple hours after the game. So most of the hours spent working in this job was behind the scenes. It was shining shoes, doing laundry. It was running errands. It was whatever the players needed to do. But it was all about getting the locker room prepared and the uniforms and players ready for the games.
Boy, what a great story. Steve Sokoloff is with us, bat boy for the Giants, visiting clubhouse and then eventually over to the home clubhouse. All right, who are some of the visiting players? There's got to be a few good stories in here. There's no statute of limitations. It's already expired, so don't worry about it.
Okay. The first one that comes to mind is Richie Allen. And Richie Allen was could have been one of the biggest home run hitters of all time. And Marty, you probably know how many home runs he hit in his career, but he was a big, strong ox. But he showed up one morning he was with Philadelphia. He showed up late. He missed the team bus. He showed up at about 12:15, missed batting practice, missed the team bus, and he showed up with about a half a bottle of VO gone.
Okay.
He then proceeded to hit two home runs that day and finish off the VO after the game. So he hid the bottle of VO in my locker. But he was an amazing athlete and could have been a Hall of Famer. Unfortunately, the alcohol sort of did him in.
Boy, that is a good Richie Allen story. Joining us is Steve Sokoloff, former bat boy for the Giants. A bottle of VO are in his locker, and he goes out and hits two home runs. That was Richie Allen. Boy, he did have that reputation. Others that you met.
And that was, by the way, that was with a 40-ounce bat. I don't think they even make those anymore, but he was strong. The third best ball player I ever saw was Pete Rose. Mays, Bonds, Pete Rose. And he was a character. He was everything about him that you hear about him, intensity. He used to play pepper with me, and they've outlawed pepper these days, but he used to play pepper with me and used to just crush the ball. I was up against the stands, and he used to just crush the ball and just kept whacking and whacking and just never let up. But he was intense, and he was a great guy. Probably the best guy of all time was Ernie Banks. As a Cub bat boy, he, knowing I was from San Francisco, he would try to get me clapping to start a rally for the Cubs. He would take my hat, he would make it a rally hat, and then he would physically take my hands and try to make me clap as I resisted the whole time trying to clap, you know, and let's go Cubbies, and I obviously couldn't get that out of my mouth, but he never gave up. He was a guy that literally would play for nothing, and everything you hear about him on a foggy, cold candlestick day, he would say, let's play two, great day for two, and he meant it. He would play for nothing.
So what was the toughest part of the job? And you're just a kid. I'm sure you're starry-eyed coming in every day. But what was the toughest part for you?
Looking back, there was nothing was tough about it. It was, I mean, any kid would like that job, would love that job. But we used to, I lived in Santa Fe growing up. I took the bus. In those days, the Greyhound bus dropped me off at third and base short. We used to have to walk the mile or two, whatever it was, to the ballpark. It wasn't a problem in those days, but it was the commute was long, and it was the pay was not good. For all those hours of working, it was all 4 years, it was $7 a game.
All right, $7. A little different today, I imagine, some of the tips that, that kids get. But managers who you had to deal with, of course, there, you mentioned a few players to us, Pete Rose, Ernie Banks, and Richie Allen. How about managers?
I kind of didn't really intermingle too much with the managers. It was occasionally they would tell me to run down to the run back to the clubhouse and get something. But I really dealt mostly with the players, their wishes. The managers were kind of a little too far above us to deal with the bat boys.
Okay. All right, you ever see a no-hitter? Anything special happen at the ballpark?
I saw Gaylord Perry's no-hitter.
Oh, you did. Okay.
And lots of special things. Probably the most interesting thing is just probably the most vivid memory of all was for 2 years when I was a Giants bat boy. I was playing catch with Willie Mays before every game. And he used to have fun with me. He used to break off curveballs, and he could have been a great pitcher if you read his book. He could have been a phenomenal pitcher if he wanted to, but I guess his father told him not to pitch. But he used to tease me and throw these crazy breaking pitches in just playing catch. But he was amazing. One of my favorite guys was Tito. He used to race me and do sprints. I thought I was fast, but I couldn't keep up with Tito. Tito was pretty fast in those days. But, of course, growing up as a Giants fan, I have, lots of great memories about the Giants. I was a shy kid, and McCovey knew my father very well. And for, 2 years, he didn't know my name, and I was too shy to introduce myself. So he called me Little Bob. And, of course, my name wasn't Bob. My father was Bob. I'm Steve. And finally, once I broke through, he was able to call me by my name. But another story which comes to mind is, I believe it was 70, Dave Kingman had an appendectomy, and he was on the DL for whatever it was, 2 weeks or something. And on a Saturday, the team was on the road, and I was working in San Jose on this particular Saturday, and he called me to come out and throw batting practice to him. So it was just he and I in the candlestick, and he was taking half swings and still hitting out of the ballpark. But it was a pretty good experience being able to just come out there and just throw batting practice to Dave Kingman and see him crush these balls as he was recuperating from his surgery.
Boy, great story. Steve Sokoloff is with us, as Willie Mays called him, Stevie. When I told Willie that you were going to be on the show, Stevie, he remembered you so well. But Eddie Logan, I never met him, and of course Mike Murphy takes over for Eddie Logan on the home side, but what was Eddie Logan like?
Eddie was, this was his whole life. He was a crotchety old Irishman. He was an alcoholic. This is his whole life. He had a family, but he spent every time I was at the ballpark, he was there. So he must have gotten there, 5 or 6 hours before every game, and left for 3 or 4 hours after every game. But I was there actually one time when he had a heart attack, and Doc Hughes, Leo Hughes, was there. Fortunately, this is after a game, and it was scary here seeing a man just drop whatever he had in his arms and fall to the ground. But he was okay. But it was a pretty scary moment. But Eddie was just a no-nonsense guy that worked in the clubhouse, and that was his whole life.
Yeah, it goes back to the New York Giant days as well. So, Steve, what do you do now? Of course, you had great training as a bat boy, discipline, and you worked hard. Did it help you in later life?
Did it help me in later life? No, but it taught me some crude language as a shy 13-year-old. I learned some words. I heard some words I certainly never heard of before. But as far as life lessons, there's lessons that you meet a lot of different people. Gaylord Perry, a southern redneck who he was all about discipline. He used to take the scissors and cut people's hair if they got a little bit too long, mine included. But there was certainly some discipline that was learned, but I don't think life's lessons were learned in the clubhouse. As far as what I do now, I'm in the apparel business. I've been really in the apparel business my whole life. I'm a manufacturer of knitwear, men's knitwear. And it's something I've always enjoyed, and of course, gives me time to come out to all the ball games.
Great to have you on the show. This is a good story. I'm very happy that we got to do it. Steve Sokolov, former bat boy for the San Francisco Giants. You got some good stories, I want to tell you. You got good stories. So something did happen in your life that you took with you throughout your life, and you say it with a smile, so I know it was a good time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Marty. Thank you very much.
More coming up right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.